Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
If you would, turn back with me to the Gospel of Matthew, and I want to go to the 13th chapter, Matthew chapter 13. I am convinced that if you can change the way you view what you are going through, faith can be developed. So today we're going to begin to break down the first reason why you might be going through a trial, and that is persecution. Persecution. Matthew chapter 13, when you get there, say amen. Amen. Persecution. Could it be what you're going through is just persecution? It is the enemy doing what he does and using people to do it. Because persecution is something that Jesus said we would have simply because of our faith. You cannot know the Lord, you cannot live by the word of God, and you cannot name the name of Jesus without the enemy putting a mark on you. Amen. And he will use people to persecute us, and I want to show you how to respond to that. We'll start in Matthew chapter 13, and we'll look at it down in verse number 20. So in Matthew 13, Jesus is given this parable of a sower and how the sower sows the word. And he says in verse 20, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, right now you're hearing the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Sometimes folk get saved, they get in the word and they get happy, they get joy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, the word starts doing its thing. But you gotta watch out, because verse 21 is gonna happen. Because two things always come when you hear the word. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then Jesus said, the enemy comes when you hear the word of God. So the enemy is going to test that word that we hear. And we see in verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation, or what? Persecution ariseth because of what? The word, by and by, he is offended. He is offended. Go back with me two chapters to Matthew chapter 11. So Jesus is saying here that there are those that will hear the word, and then persecution is gonna come. The enemy is gonna attack. He's gonna use people to rise up against you. And he says there will be some that get offended. They get off-ended. That's a good way of looking at being offended. You got off-ended. And offense always breaks relationship. And no matter who it is you might be offended toward, the enemy will never stop working that offense until he has you offended at God. Because ultimately that's who the enemy wants us offended at. And that's why persecution seems to be so successful in believers' lives, to get them out of prayer, out of the word, out of church, out of serving, out of the will of God. It is persecution. Because somewhere or another, we just believe that we should never go through anything and that everybody ought to love us and we ought to have 1 jillion likes on Facebook. And so when we find out that not everybody loves us, and we find out that somebody's been talking about us, and we find out that everybody doesn't favor us, and then we begin to face some mistreatment on the job or in the family or by a neighbor, all of a sudden the persecution that's arising in our heart gets us offended, and offense is always rooted in expectation. In other words, I can't be offended at you until I expected something different. That when my expectations are not met, that's when I get offended. And so the enemy loves to use a vulnerable time like a trial when you're really going through it to say to you, hey, your expectations are not being met. Where is your God? Where is your Savior? I thought Jesus came to give you an abundant life. Your life is getting worse. See, we praise him when it's right and we're in the light. But where is your praise when things look broken in your life? Where is your praise when you get word that there's gonna be a layoff? Where is your praise when the report comes in? Where is your praise when you're in the fire? So let me show you a prime example of this, Matthew chapter number 11. When you get there, just say amen. And we'll start it in verse number 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John, this is John the Baptist, now when John had heard in the prison, when John had heard in the prison, are you with me now? Sometimes based on where you're at, determines how you respond to what you hear. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of which Christ? Jesus Christ. The same Jesus Christ that when John in the belly of his mother, 6 months old in that pregnancy, in Elizabeth's belly, heard Mary say Jesus. Elizabeth said to Mary, when you just said that name, this baby just leaped in my womb. This John that's leaping in the belly at the name of Jesus. I don't know how many of us can share the testimony where our mama told us, hey, you used to jump in my belly when you heard the name of Jesus. My God, what a testimony. Some of us only jump when mama ate sweets. Because I know that when my wife was pregnant, we would go get the, what do you call that thing where they look in and see the baby? Ultrasound. We'd always stop and get a candy bar on the way because she'd eat that candy bar, put a little sugar in her blood, and then babies would come alive. But how many of us came alive when we heard the name of Jesus? John the Baptist did. John the Baptist was Jesus' forerunner. He's the one that went out into the streets and said, hey, y'all, there's one coming after me that was preferred before me. And when he gets here, I'm going to decrease that he might increase. He was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the show opener. Like going to a concert and you got the group you ain't never heard of that comes out front. And then you have to tolerate their stuff until the main one comes out. Well, Jesus was the main event. And John the Baptist was the forerunner. And when Jesus showed up at John's baptism, John said, I can't baptize you. I need to be baptized of you. You baptize me. Jesus said, no, I can't argue with you. Let it be done for righteousness' sake. John looked back at this Jesus and said, I'm not even worthy to unlace your shoes. And he baptized him. When he did, he heard a voice from heaven that said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And then a dove lit on Jesus' shoulder. That Christ. Just don't act like you don't know him. That Christ that saved you at the age of 18. That Christ that was there for you when you were going to take your life one night. That Christ that met you at an altar. That Christ that met you in the midnight hour. That Christ that saved your mama. That Christ that healed your daddy. That Christ that answered prayer. That Christ that got you through things you never would have got through on your own. Sometimes when you get in a bad situation, you act like you don't know the one that brought you to the place that you are right now. See, John in prison, all of a sudden is going to start questioning Christ. So when John in prison had heard the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, verse 3, and said unto them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? That was the message he sent to Jesus. Read that message with me out loud. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? All of a sudden, he's ready to look for another. You want another that'll make you leap in your mother's belly? You want another that you will hear the voice of God speak out of heaven and say, this is my son? You want another that you would spend your days preaching and preparing his way, and all of a sudden now you act like you don't know this one? That's what offense will do. Offense, if it gets in your marriage, it will tell you, this man is not the one. I need to look for another. Offense will tell you, this woman is not the one. I need to look for another. Yes, your own pastor can offend you, and you'll be saying, I got to leave Word of God and find me another church, find me another preacher, find me another job. That's what offense does. It always leads you to separate. Shreveport gets hard. I got to find me another city. Bossier gets hard. I got to find me another city. Y'all quiet. He said, are you the one, or do I need to look for another? See, I can imagine myself as John, James A. McManus as John. I'm not saying John did this. I said, I can imagine me doing this. Please set the record straight. Somebody got mad at me one time, said I was casting John in a negative light.
I said, oh my gosh, I'm reading a scripture. But I can imagine James McManus being John sitting in that prison cell. Now, I wouldn't be sitting because I pace a lot, as y'all notice. I'd be pacing. I can just imagine. His first sermon, he came to set the captives free. Captives free. I'm his first cousin. Nobody knew of Jesus till I came out there and told him he was coming, gonna leave me in this prison. You say, John didn't say that. I didn't say John said that. I said that. I can imagine James A. saying that. But I'm gonna prove to you he's offended in that prison. I'm gonna prove to you he's offended. Because when they came to Jesus and said, are you the one or do we need to look for another? Jesus in verse 4 said, go and show John again. Go show John again. See, sometimes you forget what the Lord has already revealed to you. Don't let your trial make you forget how he's already shown himself to you. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Read verse 6 out loud. Ready? Read. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus said, tell them the dead are getting up. Tell them the blind that never saw see. Tell them the deaf that never heard hear. Tell them that the mute who can't talk speak. Tell them that the poor who didn't think there was a way out of no way, a way has been made for them. Go tell them that. Tell them that again. He already seen it one time. Go tell him again. Remind him. And he said, oh, by the way, one more thing. Tell John, blessed is he that won't be offended in me. What's he saying? John, you've gotten offended. And by being offended, you have forgotten who I am. You've let your offense change your view of me. And that's what the enemy wants to do in our lives. He wants to use persecution and trial to get us to change the way we view our God. He wants you to be in that broken state and in that poor state and in that depressed state to say, where is the Lord? Where is God? If God is so good, why is this happening to me? Because that's what he's after. That's what he's trying to do. Can I get you to change your view of who Jesus is based on what's going on in your life? But Jesus gives a promise here we cannot overlook. He said, blessed is the man that won't get offended. Now that's a heavy word when you talk about being blessed. He said, blessed is he that will not be offended in me. That means if I can go through a trial and not allow that trial to get me offended at God, the Lord will bless me in that trial. Now, let me back that up with some more scripture because we've got to get an understanding of this. Come over with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Now, when you use the word blessing, oh, my goodness, you're talking about a powerful word. I don't want you taking that word lightly. The blessing of God is not a new car. The blessing of God is not a new house. The blessing of God is not a suit. The blessing of God is not a tangible thing. Now, I know some of you might say, Pastor, I beg to differ with you. I know this house was a blessing. No, that house was the result of the blessing. The blessing of God is a spiritual endowment. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. I'm gonna get stirred up here in a minute. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Say it like that and emphasize maketh. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord will make things happen in your life. It will make breakthrough come in your life. It will make prosperity come in your life. It will make breakthrough come in your life. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. Say that out loud. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. The blessing of the Lord will make something happen in your life. It should not be taken lightly when you talk about the blessing. We ought to be like Jacob wrestling with God, wrestling with an angel. Say, I won't let you go till you bless me. If we understood the magnitude of the word blessing, we wouldn't trade anything for it.
Did you hear what I just said? If we understood the magnitude of the word blessing, we wouldn't trade anything for it. So if Jesus said, blessed is he that doesn't take offense in me, then no matter what I'm going through, I'm not going to blame God. Because blessed is he that won't take offense at God in this. Blessed. 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 The Bible says, no man can curse whom the Lord has blessed. No man can curse whom the Lord has blessed. I may have the two guys mixed up, but was it Balaam that paid Balak or Balak that paid Balaam to curse Israel? Balak paid Balaam? All right, I'm taking it from Brother Willie. So Balak paid Balaam. Balaam, he said, I want you to curse Israel. Paid him good money. He got out there and set him on the mount, and he went to speak curses over Israel, and blessing came out of his mouth. He said, hey, wait, I told you to curse them, and you done mess around and bless them. Maybe you're pointing the wrong way. You've been facing north. Let me face west. Try it again. He opened his mouth, and a blessing came out. He said, oh, you done messed up again. Face south. Let's try it this way. And he went to open his mouth, and a blessing came out. He was a prophet of God. He said, you're still getting it wrong. Let's try east. And he pointed him a different direction. And another blessing came out. And finally, the prophet said, look, I'm a prophet. I can't prophesy except by God's spirit. And I know you told me to speak a curse, but I can't speak except that which the Lord gave me. And the Lord done gave me a blessing. And I know you wanted them cursed, but the Lord wants them blessed. And no man can curse whom the Lord hath blessed. So, if I understood that you can't curse me, you ain't big enough to curse me, you don't have enough authority to curse me, I don't care what you said on Facebook, I have faced this book. I don't care what you said behind my back. I know what God has already put in my heart. You ain't big enough. You ain't got enough power to curse my life. No man can curse whom the Lord hath already blessed. If we really believe that, we wouldn't worry about what folks say. All right, watch this in Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed. Blessed. This reminds me of that old school album by Fred Hammond and Radical for Christ. I think it was the first album they might have put out. Blessed, 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 blessed. If you don't have Fred Hammond in your playlist, you better get him there. You're gonna have your moments of Hillsong and all that, but there's some moments when you're in the fire, you need some Fred. He said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You got to be able to look through and realize sometimes you're going to be persecuted just because of who you belong to and whose name you call. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, don't be doing folk wrong, and then they say something. You say, well, I'm blessed. No, you know, you did that. He said, for my sake. Let it be for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. He said, you're blessed if you're persecuted for my sake. Now, here's the thing. I got to start viewing my persecution and say, you've positioned me to be blessed. You've positioned me for the blessing of God. Now, let me show something to you. Go with me to Luke chapter number 17. I got two more places I want us to turn. And we'll be done here in a few minutes. But watch this in Luke 17. Both are in Luke. I want to go to Luke 17, then Luke 6. The only reason we get persecuted, or let me say it another way. The objective of the enemy in the persecution is offense. And you get folk that brag about being offended. I am offended. Offense is translated trap. It's Satan's trap. Don't be bragging about being offended. That's saying, I slid. I am in handcuffs. I mean, we shouldn't be bragging about being in a trap. Offense is a trap set by the enemy. And no matter who it is that's persecuted you that you might be offended at, the enemy will never stop until you're offended at God. That's what he's working toward. Now, folk are going to do us wrong because folk are going to be folk. Y'all didn't say nothing. I don't know whether y'all saying amen or what. I don't know where you at. But I want to show you something in Luke 17. How many of you have ever been done wrong by somebody? Lift your hand up in the air, Larry, like you just don't care. Okay, that's everybody. Anybody hand not up right now is asleep. All right? And we wouldn't be offended if it didn't mean something. Zechariah 13:6 says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. A stranger can do you wrong, you think nothing of it. But when folk that you go to church with do you wrong, when folk that are in your family do you wrong, when folk you've been working with for 13 years do you wrong, then now you get offended because you wouldn't have expected that. An offense is rooted in unmet expectation. All offended people have either been done wrong or thought they had been done wrong. Now watch what Jesus said about offense in Luke 17, verse 1. You get there, say amen. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Read that part out loud. Ready? Read. It is impossible but that offenses will come. So he's saying you cannot avoid it. The potential for offense is going to always be there. If you think otherwise, it's impossible. An offense doesn't need anybody's help. Now watch what he says next, verse 1. But woe unto him through whom they come. Read that part out loud. But woe unto him through whom they come. So Jesus said, if you think that you're going to live a life where there's never the potential for offense, that is impossible. But I will say this, woe to him through whom. That means in our lives, church, please hear me, please hear me. In our lives, there are going to be people that are carrying an offense that they want us to receive. What does that mean? That means we like people to bear our offense. So you just keep looking at Susie and you just think Susie hung the moon. But you don't know, 3 weeks ago, Susie and I had a little issue. So I ain't gonna let you just keep applauding Susie. No, I'm gonna pull you to the side on a lunch date. And I'm only gonna tell you this because I know you're a person of prayer. But let me tell you what I know about Susie. Because I don't want to be alone in my offense. So I need to pull somebody in, let them know how this person offended me, so that maybe they will view that person like I'm viewing that person, and then I won't feel so alone in this. As a matter of fact, that one ain't enough. Let me invite somebody else over to another evening dinner and then say to them, let me tell you about Susie. And I only tell you this because I know you pray for me. I'm not telling everybody this. You done told 3 people today. But you're trying to build a team of offense. And Jesus said, you ought not do that. No, he said, woe unto him through whom they come. If you're trying to deposit your offense in somebody else's heart, Jesus said, woe to you. Why? Because you are falling right into the trap of the enemy. Not only has the enemy got you caught up in offense, you're trying to pull other people in there with you. I have witnessed people get offended at me, offended at this church, offended at our school, and it was just a one-on-one thing, maybe a misunderstanding, but what they would do is they would go around to other members and other families within the school and pull them in and pull them in until they had deposited their offense in their heart. And next thing I know, that whole group is out of church. That whole group, even today, not in church anywhere, completely out of the will of God because of the one that made a decision to be the carrier of offense.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.